We'll get started here and thankful that we're working this area of prayer. This is our subject. Our theme for the month of October is prayer. A number of years ago, in the mountains of New Mexico, a bunch of us were at an outdoor training program, and it was the end of October, and you would think it would be relatively warm and comfortable, but it wasn't. They had a huge snowstorm came in. It was overcast for 3 days. The ground was full of snow. It was cold. It was uncomfortable. And this third night, in the middle of the night, it must have been 2 or 3 in the morning, I got up and crawled out of my sleeping bag, out of my tent, and I was feeling really bad, just really sick. I went to the outdoor latrine area. We dig a little ditch for our bathroom duties, and I, you know, we're family here. I can share this. I peed red blood, and I knew that wasn't good. And then my mind was starting to go funny on me, and I came back and I sat down and I was having like a panic attack. I was just, what's going on here, you know? And I knew my body must have something just attacking me. And I started speaking in tongues. And I just went to the Father and I spoke in tongues. I spoke in tongues. And within several minutes, I looked up. And the whole time we were there, we had not seen the sky. I mean, it was just clouds. Hadn't seen the night stars or anything. But I looked up, and there was a little opening, and it just opened up in the skies, and there was Orion, the constellation Orion, which it happened to be that constellation that I saw, and I recognized what that meant. And my understanding of Orion is the coming glorious one, coming to win, coming as the glorious conqueror. And that's a biblical understanding of the stars, the word written in the stars. And I saw that, and that just blessed my heart. My panic attack was gone. I could breathe. I felt good. And I was delivered. And just by speaking in tongues, going to the Father, I had that deliverance. A little later on, I peed yellow, too. I was debating if I should share that in my prayer works. And prayer does many things, doesn't it? And prayer is power. PP power, right? Remember Jan was sharing last week on power? Prayer is power. And prayer is the bridge that connects our relationship with God. And think about it. We are talking with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. You know, one of the most awesome privileges afforded a born-again believer is the open door to talk with the Creator of the heavens and earth. Now, those of us who have read His Word and we see His nature, that He has a nature, He's full of love and grace and mercy, and we discover that He thrives on having fellowship with those whom He's called. That's why He instituted what He did, so that He could have fellowship with those that He's called. It says in Proverbs 15:8, the prayer of the upright is His delight. When He hears a prayer of those who are upright, righteous, He's thankful, He's blessed, He is delighted. Now that being the case, our attitude of mind should be one of thankfulness, right? Gratefulness. We can approach Him openly and freely, realizing that He wants to hear from us. He really wants to hear from us, doesn't He? We heard that in the manifestations. His availability is unbelievable. And His desire for us to talk to Him, my goodness. He does want to hear from us. We should be excited about the privilege we have to go before Him without any sense of guilt or condemnation. Now remember Romans 8, verse 1? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If you're born again of God's Spirit, you have Christ within. And there's no condemnation, no guilt. He sees the Christ in you, and is the Christ in you upright? Then your prayer is His delight. Our prayers are what He wants from us. It's our prayers that connect us to the Father. It's our prayers that we thank Him. It's our prayers that we make requests for His help in our personal needs. And it is by prayer that we ask for His help for fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. It says in Hebrews, and I'll just quote this for you, 4:16, "Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need." Grace to help in time of need. So we want to come boldly before that throne of grace. That's how God wants us to come before Him. Now, if you're a father, who are you going to respond to the best? If you're a father, would it be the fellow work person? You know, you work with somebody, you get to know them. They might ask a favor of you. You might respond to them. What about a neighbor? A neighbor across the street. If they have a request or a need and they come before you, you might, you might help them out and stuff. You know, what about an uncle or a cousin, somebody in the family? Yeah, maybe we would. We would help out a little bit. But if your son and daughter comes to you, would you respond? Yes, more than all the others, wouldn't you? You know, Gaby comes up, like you were saying, Todd. He comes up to you. You're going to respond to his request more than you would a neighbor, an uncle, cousin, fellow worker. That's how God is. We are children. Let's go to Romans, if you would. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. In the business of prayer, we've got to realize if it's a connection, prayer is a connection or a bridge to God, we've got to realize who we are in that relationship with God Almighty as we approach Him in prayer. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him... And the word "if" there, I think many of you know, it can be translated "since" or "if it be so." But if it be so, the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. I tell you, this verse is so rich. Think about this. Since that Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells where? In you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. It'll be a time when that will be made alive, a new body, right? When Christ comes back. And we have the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead in us. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live, or since you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are sons of God. Are you a son of God? You've got the Spirit, right? And it's the Spirit, that same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's a great Spirit to have. Of all the spirits available, I want that one. And we have that one. And it's inside of us. It's inside of us. Well, you ask the question, well, how do you know you got Spirit? You know, Spirit is, you can't see, hear, smell, taste Spirit. How do you know you got Spirit? Well, let's read on. We know if we do have spirit, we are sons of God. Verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Again, a better translation is sonship. Either sonship by adoption, sonship by getting born by seed. And we're born by incorruptible seed, right? So our birth is by seed, incorruptible seed. So, but if you have received the spirit of sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. That's who we go pray to. We don't go, Great God of the universe, I come before you. No! Daddy. We go to Daddy. We're His kids. He loves us. He has set this up so that we could come to Him in such a form and fashion as little children. Okay? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Well, how does that Spirit bear witness with my spirit? I can't see, hear, smell, taste Spirit. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with them, so we may be also glorified together. So let's go back to the question, how do we know we have spirit in us? Manifestation, right? There's nine manifestations, evidence of the spirit. One of them is speaking in tongues. When you speak in tongues, you know you have the Spirit inside, don't you? You just know. You just know. I'll tell you what, when I spoke in tongues for the first time, it was the greatest deliverance in my life. Because I knew I was heaven bound, that God was my Father, that I had a connection that was true and right and best. And I was an heir of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So we have quite a connection, don't we, as children? So when you go to God in prayer, you go with that relationship in mind. Have that in your heart. Remember that. Remember that. It says in 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Are you righteous? God's word says you are righteous now. You are righteous. You have His righteousness within you. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. God's ears are open to our prayers. Now, there's two ways, and I'd like for you to go to 1 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. There are two ways to pray to the Heavenly Father. You can either pray via your understanding, or you can pray via the Spirit. Those are the two ways that you pray to God. Either with your understanding, you know, you talk to God with words, or you pray in the Spirit. Now let's see this. Chapter 14, verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, what? Okay, so when the Spirit prays, what is that? Speaking in tongues. Okay, there it is. Okay, speaking in tongues. If the Spirit prayeth, that's speaking in tongues. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. You can sing in tongues. And you can sing with the understanding, okay? Those are the two ways to pray, okay? Praying in the Spirit is speaking in tongues. Now, in verse 2, when you speak in tongues, who are you talking to? God Almighty. Chapter 14, you're there. Verse 2, the first part of that verse says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Right? Unto God. Speaking in tongues is phenomenal. Just phenomenal. And isn't it interesting in the church today, in the Christian church today, for the most part, speaking in tongues is looked down upon. or it's not available. I would say 95%, maybe even more, of the Christian household thinks speaking in tongues is not beneficial. And we've seen already from God's Word how wonderful speaking in tongues is. Boy, I tell you, speaking in tongues is a great way to pray. And that's my emphasis I want to share with you in the rest of this teaching, is the greatness of speaking in tongues, praying in tongues. And I've got a handout that I've asked the ushers to give you some notes here. And perhaps you might have noticed some of the things I'm sharing with you are in the newsletter. So if you've made a bunch of notes and missed something, you might find it in the newsletter. But I want to share with you a little bit about speaking in tongues. And speaking in tongues, there's a lot that happens when you speak in tongues. And we're going to focus in on the aspects that relate to prayer. But let's look at this list here, what it is. What it is. Speaking in tongues is speaking to God via the Spirit within you. We saw that just here in verse 2, didn't we? Speaking in tongues when in operation is a language of either men or angels which is unknown to the speaker. And there's several verse references there. Chapter 13, verse 1 is a great one. Speaking in tongues is divine. Speaking divine secrets are mysteries. That's the latter part of verse 2. Speaking in tongues builds up the speaker spiritually. And you can read that in chapter 14, verse 4. But number 5 here, speaking in tongues is praying in the Spirit. All right? When you pray in the Spirit, you're speaking in tongues. That is a great way to pray. I tell you, that night, you're like, you know, you're hurting. Your mind's going wacko. It's cold out. You're just like, whoa, what am I going to do? And the reality of being able to do something. I mean, I guess I could have called out, God, help me. Or speak in tongues. I knew I'd get a direct line real quick. No interference. Direct line. So speaking in tongues is a great way to pray to God. Now number 6 here, speaking in tongues gives thanks well. Let's look at that. You're in 1 Corinthians there, right? Chapter 14, verse 17. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. And that's within the context here where you're praying in the Spirit. All right? You're praying in the Spirit in the context of verse 14 and 15. And it carries over, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I think, my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul was like, man, he spoke in tongues a lot, didn't he? Speaking in tongues is a sign to unbelievers. Speaking in tongues is supernatural or a spiritual matter. Speaking in tongues is proof in the senses realm that you are being, you being a child of God, born again, filled with God's Spirit. We saw that in Romans chapter 8. Number 10 here on our list, speaking in tongues is proof in the senses realm that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We saw that in Romans 8:17. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 26, and we'll see that speaking in tongues makes intercession for the saints. You know, there are times when you can... You're thinking of people and you don't know maybe what's going on. You can speak in tongues for them. I mean, we hear about situations with Jeannie this week. You heard about her dad falling asleep and everybody was speaking in tongues when you heard about that. What a wonderful, natural, spiritual thing to do for our brothers and sisters to bring comfort. You know, who knows what that does? and the difference if it wasn't going on, the speaking in tongues. But it says here in chapter 8, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. For he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Making intercession for the saints. Boy, there are many examples I could think of where, you know, somebody was on our mind and we spoke in tongues and we found out later that at that same exact time they were in some challenging situation. I remember this one time, my friend said, hey, we need to pray for my brother. He's on my heart. Let's speak in tongues. So we spoke in tongues, 5-10 minutes there for his brother. We find out, you know, a week or two later that he was involved in a very heated battle. You know, his life was on the line. And, you know, at that same exact time that we were speaking in tongues. I remember, and Jeannie tells a story of our son James when he was 4 years old. And he's kind of said, hey, we need to pray for my little friend, Willie. And, okay. So we speak in tongues and pray for Willie. We find out later Willie had gotten sick at that same time and recovered very quickly. So these kind of things go on. As we think of each other, the most loving thing we can do is speak in tongues for each other. What a wonderful lever of prayer. Amazing. Praying for others. I want to share something. I want to emphasize something for you here. And if you'd like, you could go to Ephesians chapter 6. But do that. Chapter 6, Ephesians. Many Christians, when you talk about the duties of a believer, you know where they put prayer? Down at the bottom. You know, reading your Bible, witnessing, preaching, bringing new people to fellowship, and prayer, kind of down at the bottom. God doesn't list like that. He's got it horizontal. All these are important, okay? But isn't it so that, you know, oh, well, I can pray, but the guy that can really teach and preach and go out witnessing, we kind of, ooh, those guys are the heavies in the church. You know, the ones that have their loins girt about with truth, the ones that have on the breastplate of righteousness, they're the all-stars. They're the ones that really count. Those who pray, well, that's nice, but they're not as important as these others. The ones whose feet are shod with the gospel of peace. The ones that take the shield of believing, quenching the fiery darts of the wicked. The ones that take on the helmet of salvation, they are the spiritual heavies, the superstars. The ones who take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, now they are the ones that really count. Praying is not that big a deal. Ah, but what does it say in Ephesians chapter 6 when you have the armor of God and you make that stand with the whole armor? What is the action that takes place? What do you do? Ephesians 6, 18, right? Ephesians 6, 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Wow, that's what it is, man. You're going to stand? Be a prayer, one that prays. That's a big deal. The one that prays constantly and faithfully, that's the person that counts. Now, everybody counts, right? You know that in the world we try to put, you know, this person is better than that, and this job is, no. Praying is real important, as witnessing and reading your word. But I want you to see that. that, you know, here, standing with the whole armor and the action taking place, is speaking in tongues. When you pray in the Spirit, you're speaking in tongues, right? And you're making supplication, intercession for the saints. That's pretty neat, huh? Well, how are we doing on our list here? Let's see. Number 12, speaking in tongues is speaking the wonderful works of God. Speaking in tongues is magnifying God. Speaking in tongues is absolute evidence and proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then on the next page is the benefits of speaking in tongues to the believer. It builds you up spiritually, like charging up your spiritual battery, so that you can operate the other manifestations in a more effective manner. It opens the door to the other manifestations. It seems like when you're really speaking in tongues, you seem to be more in tune to word of knowledge, word of wisdom, you know, these other manifestations. It allows you to speak directly to the Heavenly Father in a language He understands. It is an integral part of the believer's devotional prayer life. It allows you to pray for others, making intercession for the saints. We just saw that in Ephesians. It's also rest to your soul because you know that you're born again and heaven bound and nothing can stop you from going. You know the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished all that is necessary for you to be at peace in your heart when you speak in tongues. You remember these things. That's the benefit of speaking in tongues. Recognize those who speak in tongues are born again. They're brothers and sisters. It allows you to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. This is one of the rare things He declares in His Word that He desires. Yeah, not too many places in the Word where God desires something, but it sure is in John 4:23 and 24. We're going to look at that in a moment there, but it allows you to sing perfect praises to the Father by singing in tongues. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 14:15. Now, benefits of speaking in tongues to the Heavenly Father. You know, by nature, when man is given something, he wants to see the benefit to me. Well, what about from God's perspective? What benefit does He get by you speaking in tongues? All right, let's put ourselves in God's shoes, so to speak, and think about what benefits does He receive via speaking in tongues. Well, the Father now has children permanently in His family that utilize His Spirit and talks to Him. He must be really blessed by that. He can go into action for other saints whom He loves because we speak in tongues for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Isn't that something? It opens the door for us to help our brothers and sisters, for God to go into action. He hears perfect words of thankfulness. You want to thank God? The best way? Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. He hears songs of praise that have perfect words when you sing in tongues. That's how it benefits our Father. And number 5, let's go to, in your Bible, to John 4:24. He receives what He so desires and seeks believers to do, and that is to hear His children worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 4, verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must, not maybe, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. How can you worship God in spirit and in truth? Speaking in tongues. Man, oh man, this is the one of the rare verses in the Bible that declare God's desire, and that is to be worshipped via speaking in tongues. Isn't that something? We're going to close in Philippians 3. Philippians 3. I want you to see that. Actually, I'm going to share another verse in Philippians as well. We started with it. We might as well end with it. Todd started with it, I think. But first, let's go to Philippians 3, verse 3. And it says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. We worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." See, we worship God. When you speak in tongues, you're worshiping Him. That benefits Him. And we should speak in tongues much. You know, in conclusion, let's make our connection with the Heavenly Father count. We're His kids. He loves hearing from us. We have no better person to look to than God. We have no better person to bear our heart to than God. Let's continue to pray to Him in all things, knowing He will keep our hearts and minds in peace. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, I'll quote that for you. "Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Isn't that something? So Heavenly Father, we're very, very thankful that we can pray to You via our understanding and especially by speaking in tongues, Father. And I pray that we can speak in tongues much and more and much more, Father, as we continue to grow and walk with You, knowing how valuable that resource or that lever of prayer is. So thank You for making it available for us to worship You like this, Father, to go to You in prayer in a perfect way. We're very grateful for that. So we are grateful, Father, and I thank You in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to...